Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you and praise you and thank you for the living word of the living God. We thank you, Father, that this living word, Jesus Christ, came to this planet 2,000 years ago, that he came to show us how to live as a human being, what we could do as human beings, and what we should be doing as human beings. Lord, we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for all those wonderful examples you were and what you showed us we could do as sons of God. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Now, as the word goes out, I ask you to bless it in a mighty way today and bless everyone that hears it and reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about the enemy. I think it's very important that we know who the enemy is and how to overcome the enemy. Now, I used to wonder why it was that so many people would not believe God's word whenever you would tell them this wonderful story that, do you know that if you would just believe in Jesus, confess him with your mouth, and believe with your heart that the Father raised him from the dead, you would be saved. You would receive eternal life. Everything in you would change. You would become a new creature in Christ, and you would be able to understand and do things on this earth that you would never be able to do before. And then when you die and leave this earth, you get to go to heaven to be with the Lord instead of going to hell to be with the devil. And people would just turn and look at you and say, "I'm sorry, sir, I'm not interested," and they turn and walk off. And I used to think, "Lord, what is wrong with those people?" And then one day, I figured it out. As I'm reading the Word of God, I found out about these strongholds and about the battleground of the mind. Now then, there is a wonderful scripture here in Luke chapter 11. I want to read this scripture to you, starting with verse 21. In Luke 11, 21, listen to what the Word of God says. Jesus has been talking about casting out devils and all these things in this chapter, and how they've accused him of being the devil himself. But anyway, I want to show you what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 11:21, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils." Now then, I want you to think about what that's saying right there as we look at this. Before you and I were born again, you and I were the possessions of the devil. Now, Satan was like a fully armed, strong man guarding the homestead of our souls. On the day of our salvation, however, a glorious someone stronger. Who was that someone stronger? That someone stronger was the Lord Jesus Christ. He attacked and overpowered Satan and stripped away his armor. Our born-again experience may be widely varied on a natural level, but in the spirit realm, a similar war was waged and won by each of us. If we could have absolutely seen into the invisible realm, the spirit world, we would have observed the Holy Spirit working with the angels of God to destroy the enemy's first line of defense, his armor. What exactly was this armor that protected the devil and kept us from salvation? The armor upon which demons rely consists of our own thoughts, our attitudes, and opinions which are in agreement with evil. Now, I'm telling you, what Jesus described as armor, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, he discusses those and talks about them as strongholds. Now, before I learned about these strongholds, I did not understand why I couldn't get people saved. But when I begin to understand these things that I'm showing you today, and I begin to learn how to pull down these strongholds, then I begin to get many people saved. Now, it is extremely important to recognize that in speaking of strongholds, the apostle is addressing the church. He's talking to you and me, and he's talking about these strongholds, And it is absolutely, it's foolish to assume that our salvation experience has eliminated all the wrong ideas and attitudes or the strongholds which are still influencing us today. Because, yes, I realize you become a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away, and truly, new things have come. But until we are walking in the fullness of Christ, we should not assume that the process of change is over. In other words, you're going to experience change from the day you get born again. You're going to work out your own salvation with the Word of God. You're going to renew your mind daily, every day, with God's Word. And slowly but surely, one day at a time, you're going to be changed in your attitudes and your thought patterns, and you truly will begin to do away with these strongholds that the devil has put in there, and so that you will walk in obedience to God's word. But right now, we're going to say that the foundation of our continued success in warfare comes from yielding on a day-by-day basis to the Lord Jesus Christ as He reveals these strongholds and agreeing with Him through repentance and pulling them down. It is very important to recognize that when we speak of strongholds, we are not talking about random thoughts or occasional sins. Rather, the strongholds that affect us most are those which are hidden to our thinking pattern, so that we do not recognize them nor identify them as evil. Remember, the things that Jesus revealed, He said that unclean spirits are seeking rest. The sense of rest they seek originates from being in harmony with their environment, and it's just amazing. In other words, when our thought life is in agreement with unbelief, fear, or habitual sin, the enemy has rest. And I've come to learn and come to realize that for the first 40 or 50 years of my life, I was absolutely in unbelief with the Word of God. If you'd have asked me, do you believe this book? I'd have said, absolutely. I believe every word in it from Genesis to maps. But I didn't. I did not believe the promises of God's Word. I'm telling you, I didn't act on them. So if I didn't act on them, I was in unbelief. And that's where the majority of the church is. And then when something would come upon me, fear would come in, just like it came on Peter when he was walking on the water. When fear comes into you, you absolutely cannot see the Word of God work for you. And when there's any kind of a habitual sin, the enemy has rest. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is some sins in the church today that people commit that they have absolutely no remorse toward these things. They will argue with you. They will tell you these things are not wrong. And there's many different things that people do. You can read to them the Word of the Living God where it tells you not to do these things, and these people will try their best to explain these things away. Now, one of the areas I'm going to tell you, and I know there's going to be some people out there today that's listening that I'm going to offend greatly, but I'm going to tell you, you check out what God's Word says, and you're going to find that I am telling you the truth. Now then, one of the areas that these habitual sins that so many men in many churches are committing, they're teaching another way of salvation. Now, you talk to them about this, and they'll say, I am absolutely not teaching another way of salvation. But let me explain to you what I'm talking about. First of all, let me ask you this question. How many ways of salvation are there? Well, according to the Word of God, there is only one. There is only one, and it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there is a group of men that belong to the church that say they're saved, that belongs to an organization that says that if you go through a ritual called the ritual of Hiram Abiff and you obtain your white apron, but because you refuse to reveal the secret name of God, which is not the name of God at all, you are worthy to be resurrected from the dead and to set with the great architect of the universe. Now, that organization is called the Masonic Lodge. Now, I've checked this out in great detail. I probably know more about the Masonic Lodge than most Masons do because I have studied their books in such great detail. But I'm telling you, you can sit down with the average Mason and explain this to him, and he will tell you that's not true. But it is true. They go through a ritual that when they go through, it doesn't make it who you are, what type of person you are. They say, whether you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever, that if you go through the ritual of Hiram Abiff, you're now worthy to sit with the great architect of the universe. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, the great architect of the universe they're talking about there is not God the Father. It's Satan himself. No man, no woman, no person shall ever inherit the kingdom of God except he come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these sins, these habitual sins that we commit, these things have been so hidden to these men. These men that belong to the church truly believe they're doing right. But they're wrong, because this sin has been so hidden from them by the God of this world. Their mind has been so blinded by the God of this world, which is Satan. These men have been so deceived that they don't even believe what they're doing is wrong. I mean, I have sat down with many of these people. Many of them are doctors of theology in different denominations. And you can sit down and discuss it and show it to them in the Word of God. And they will tell you, no, that's not what that teaches. But it is what it teaches. It's teaching a lie. And the Lord tells you, you are not supposed to do that. So these are the sins that I'm talking about that's creating these problems. And the God of this world has a stronghold in your life and is preventing you from learning the truth about God's Word. Let me leave this last statement with you. There is only one way to heaven, and it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And no man shall come to the Father in heaven except he come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the end of another day. I'd like to invite you to call me for teaching tapes. And my number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. I'd like to invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We have church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We would love to have you. You go up to 35E to Walnut Hill. You go east on Walnut Hill, four streets. You come to Shady Trail. You turn right or south on Shady Trail, and we're about 300 yards down on the right. We'd love to have you. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle. Praise his holy name.